Sedano Show with you here on 710 ESPN. Listen, on Friday, we're celebrating Lakers Fan Friday. Listen and win Lakers prize packs, which includes a Laker jersey, a Lakers limited edition collectible figurine from Small Stars, exclusive access to our Lakers virtual watch party on July 30th, and a $75 Pizza Hut voucher. Thank you to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, the home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com. All right, time for What You Need to Know, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all our guests, by the way, here on the show, like our pal Momo, who's here every Wednesday, appear via the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. So, Momo, what you need to know, the most important thing is what we were just discussing. Mookie Betts is going to be a Dodger for a really long time. Our Jeff Passan is reporting that, including this season, that the extension will be 12 years, but including this one, his salary will be 13 years for $380 million. How do you feel about it? What is the thing that you like the most? What is the thing that concerns you the most?
I like that he doesn't hit free agency, that they don't. The Dodgers have some certainty with him, and I think it's going to be a good. It's going to be a good deal for the first 5 years or so of it. I don't like 13. I would like it better if it was 10 years.
Such an unlucky
he's 27
number
now.
Too, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, if you want to get into new world, I think it's more just like he's 27. So clearly he wants a deal that takes him through his whole career. I'm going to be very curious to see if there's any terms attached to it. I remember when Bryce Harper signed his deal, he has a no trade clause, but he also he said he won't ask for a trade either. Let's see what the flexibility on this is.
877.
See if the Dodgers are really locked in.
Yeah. 877-710-ESPN. Give us the number of those 13 years. How many years does he have to be near the top of his game for you to believe that this deal is a successful deal? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Next, the Clippers, Momo, are closing in on a deal to land the Forum. Our own Om Yamasuk yesterday reported that they've got the environmental aspect report of this done. And basically, the Clippers will own the Lakers' old home. They will build their practice facility there, a plaza there for businesses, and, of course, the arena where they will play games.
You know, it is truly amazing to me how this turned out. You know, when they first started to want to move to Inglewood, I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought it was a leverage play to get a better deal at Staples Center. I mean, it just seemed like, how are they ever going to pull that? There's already the Forum and the Rams complex right there, Rams/Chargers complex. There just didn't seem to be enough room there. Not an ideal site just because there's not a lot of parking lot room. There's not a lot of green space around there. But and it was also, they were embroiled in litigation with the Forum. But Steve Ballmer is worth, I think the last number I saw on him was $53 billion. George, $53 billion.
Yeah, he may have lost a few during the pandemic, but you never. But yeah, it's still a lot.
Still pretty good. Still a lot. Yeah. And when you have that kind of money, you could afford to pay $400 million for the Forum or whatever he paid. I think that's the number I've heard.
Right.
To basically just buy the Forum and kill all the litigation and potentially, I don't know if they're tearing it down now, if they will in the future. Whatever it is, but it doesn't make sense to keep the Forum open next to the Clippers' new arena when you could use all that land for practice facility / parking lots.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Yeah. Well, think about this, George. Like, if you're just – the Forum is one of the great music venues in the country. It
Correct.
Is a historic building where the Lakers won all those championships during Showtime.
ESPN just aired the Eagles concert from there, their last concert. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great venue, and it's completely expendable because the Clippers bought it and don't need it, and if anything, is more valuable to them if they tear it down.
Yeah.
Wow.
Greg and Laura, as lifelong Laker fans, how do you feel about Steve Ballmer and the Clippers owning your old building?
I hate it. I hate every second of it. Not a fan whatsoever.
I
doesn't
literally
feel right.
Said no to Greg on his ear.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. Momo, on top of all the stuff that you mentioned, I think that's the salt in the wound, though, right? Because there's no way a Laker fan is looking at that and is happy about the way all of this transpired. No way.
Yeah. I mean, and I know that was part of why he had to pay so much money for the building, but you know, it is what it is. This is big business, and Steve Ballmer really believes that the Clippers need their own building, that he, you know, you saw what Golden State has done. I know Gillian, their team president, has gone up to the Bay Area to look at what they've done with the arena there at Chase Center.
It's they beautiful.
Studied it.
Yeah.
They under, you know, one of the reasons why Chase Center is so important to the Warriors, why it's also kind of a liability during the pandemic, is Chase Center is makes so much money. It is designed to maximize profit at every turn, mm-hmm. and from all the rich into like rich corporations up there in the Bay Area. So right. as long as
all
the Warriors
tech
are good,
companies, yeah,
yeah, they make like $400 million a year at their building because they own it and they operate it outright. The Clippers could position themselves in the same way if they own and operate their own building, to where, you know, yes, the Lakers have that massive TV deal, and that's why they always churn such a good profit, and their cash, they have a lot of cash on hand. But if you can turn your building into a cash cow, which is what the Warriors have done and the Clippers are going to try to do, that's the same as having a great TV deal.
Let me ask you this, because Ballmer's a tech guy, right? And you mentioned the Chase Center in the Bay Area in San Francisco. You know, a lot of tech companies buying up suites and things like that. I mean, you've got Tech Beach or whatever there in Playa Vista. Do you believe that Ballmer will align himself with those tech companies because of his you know, history with Microsoft, and that will be part of their boom, right? At the new arena, is that they already have a relationship with those particular companies because of Ballmer. Their practice facility is right down the street from where those tech companies are at the moment. Like, do you believe that will kind of be part of their success there, is aligning themselves with tech companies?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Staples Center is a great venue, but it is, I don't know, what, 20 years old at this point? So it's not exactly state-of-the-art anymore. You know, the big challenge I think they're going to have is people don't want to drive to Inglewood all the time. It's just downtown is more central. Inglewood is a little further south. You have to fight traffic to get there. There's not, you know, that when you get off the freeway, there's not easy access off the freeway.
Yeah, you got to drive for a little bit from the 405.
Yeah, a little bit off. The 405. So I think a lot of it is going to come down to like ease of use. Like I know up at Chase Center, I've had a hard time getting in and out of there so far. That's a big issue that they have to
Not
solve.
Not me, Momo, because we get car service when we work at Chase Center.
But even when you get the car service, they can
No, it's still a pain in the butt. Arena. Yes. Yeah.
It's not. I'm just like parking there. It's like, because I do the same thing. I get a hotel in San Francisco and then I take an Uber. Yeah. And it's like you take an Uber in there and you sit in traffic for 20 minutes to go three blocks. I'm like, I could walk this fast. But this is an issue for all arenas that are going to be in densely populated cities. Whenever COVID-19 subsides and we all go back to going to games.
Right.
So I don't know.
All right. That's what you need to know. Actually, I got one more for you before we go. Sneaky Giannis. Giannis, we thought he didn't have a hoop. And apparently he told everyone yesterday he lied that he was practicing all this time because he wanted to get an edge on his competitors. He wanted his competitors to think that he wasn't practicing. Sneaky Giannis, Momo. What do you make of Sneaky Giannis?
That is so something from the Kobe playbook. That is something Kobe would do. And I know that was one of his idols. They knew each other over the years. Like, Giannis is an interesting cat. He is not that. I know everybody talks about he's going to be on a super team or whatever. Giannis wants to win by himself. Like, he doesn't want to have friends. He sees himself as a lone wolf. I'm going to win it. You know, I'm going to do my thing. I don't want to help anybody else out. We don't hug after the games, you know, and I like that. I like the gamesmanship.
Yeah, I love it. I loved it too. All right. That's what you need to know. So, Momo, let's move on here. Before we went to break, I asked the question, what would it take for you to miss your sister's wedding? That is a question Alex Caruso faced. He did an interview with Zach Lowe, our buddy at ESPN, and he told the story that his sister is having a 100-person wedding in Texas during a pandemic, and he has chosen to stay in the bubble. All of this, now, I'm glad he chose to stay in the bubble. It couldn't have been easy, right, to not go to your sister's wedding, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I would imagine if I open it up the phones at 877-710-ESPN, there's probably not a lot of people that would miss their sister's wedding. But I do understand it is his chance to win a championship. I'm sure his family understands, but it couldn't have been an easy decision. But good Lord, having a wedding right now?
I mean, I think that's called like burying the lead. You know, like we frame it as a choice about missing your sister's wedding. Why are we having a 100-person wedding in Texas where COVID cases are skyrocketing right now? I mean, part of it was indoors. Like, I mean, that was just staggering to me. Like that even took place.
Yeah, whoa. No, for sure. That part of it. But Momo, look, all I just have to say, hashtag it's Texas. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it just, that's the reality, you know? And it's just, it is what it is. There are certain states that are just going to act all brazen and cavalier about this. And Texas is one of them, right? It's nobody does it like Texas, right? And, you know, nothing's bigger than Texas, right? All right, well, go have fun with that. You know, I hope the Caruso family is okay after this. But yeah, I would be very afraid. I would have, if the RSVP would have showed up at the Sedano household, not that it would have, for the Caruso family wedding,
right.
I would have RSVP'd no, that's for sure.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I don't even like, you know, I didn't go to any of the protest marches, even though I totally believe in the cause and I want to, you know, support anybody who does that. I was just like, I don't think it's a good idea to go outside with lots of other people right now. Like, and the fact that some of this was inside, I mean, I don't know. Lindsay Theory is a friend of mine. She was supposed to get married this summer. They just pushed it to 2021. Just if your love is meant to be, if it will last another year.
Agreed. Exactly. Now, I want to ask Laura this, because I would have RSVP'd no, but I feel like in a Latino family, if someone would have pushed through for this, like, you would have been ostracized potentially in a Latino family, right? Like, it would have been like, you're the black sheep. Or do you think that it wouldn't even have happened, Laura?
Oh, no, you would have definitely been seen as, why are you not going? Especially if, for example, you, in a Latino, there's so many of us, right, George? Like, our families are
huge. Yeah, we're big. Yeah. We're a lot of people.
So sometimes they pick and choose who's getting that RSVP. Mm-hmm. And
true.
If you get it, and then you kind of you think,
turn it down.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The tias, the tios, they're going to be talking about you.
Yeah. They're going to be like, you know, I bought you a plate of food. What's wrong with you? I can't believe it. How can you do this to the family? You know, like that's the words you'd get. You would get that. Like, I could just see it. Like, yeah, like Abuela would not be happy. She'd be like, you can't diss the family that way. But I'd be like, listen, Abuela, I ain't getting COVID. Sorry.
Yeah, I wouldn't go. So I don't care. You could talk about me all you want. I'm not going. Yeah, I'm staying home.
There you go. What, Mama, what if it was like, you know, someone tight in the Shelburne family? Like, not that you would, you know, I don't believe your family would do something like that. But what would you do? What would you
do? I definitely have some family that would do stuff like that. It wouldn't be my mom's side of the family. Definitely my dad's side.
Mr. Shelburne's side of the family.
My dad's side would do stuff like
They're the ones we got to keep an eye on.
like you know, I've seen photos of big, large gatherings that have been happening. They all live in Arizona.
That's another one of those states,
though. One of those states, I think it was there was a funeral that everyone was at, and I was like, oh my God, you're not wearing masks, and you're so close together. This is like super spreader event, right? Like, I would skip, but they, you know, one of our, he's not my uncle, but you know, we would call him that. He passed away a couple months ago, and that was the big funeral. And they were, you know, inviting everyone. And I was like, what?
Like, yeah, I wouldn't even go to a funeral. I'm with you.
I love him. His name was Clyde. Like, great. But no, like, you shouldn't be having this. No, bad idea.
Yeah, I agree. Well, it's tough. It's not ideal. And clearly there's been a lot of funerals, unfortunately, during this time. Yeah. But I'm with you. Let me go to Grady in Fullerton. Grady, what do you got, man?
Hey, George. Hey, Mama. My little sister, I'm cool with her. If she was getting married, if she was doing it safe, maybe like under 30 people, maybe, I don't know. My older sister, I don't care. I'm not going.
No matter what, even if it was just 5 people, you're saying, with your older sister.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care. Yeah, she could get a gift card. That's what she could get.
Oh, Grady, Grady, stay safe and stay healthy. Not every family member is created equal, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, there are some cousins that you like a lot better. I mean, so we had one of our cousins, she lives up in Oregon, and she's like 20 something, you know, just young in college, like mm-hmm. wanting to travel and go do things. And she just decides she's just going to move down to LA in the middle of the pandemic. Like, and I right. go, who are the people you're living with? And
right.
she said, oh, I met them on Facebook. I'm like, oh, this sounds just like such a terrible idea. Right.
Yeah.
And we had a COVID scare with her because she works at a Starbucks, and she had a, she got sick and had some symptoms, and finally, thank goodness we got the results back. She doesn't have it. But I was like, I don't want to say I told you so, but like, this is why you don't go move down to a big urban area in the middle of the pandemic with a large group of roommates that you just met on the internet. Nope.
Yeah. Nope. I would agree with
Sounds
that.
Risky to me.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, coming up next, we've got more stuff in regards to Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts, we've got a potential deal in place. We will give you this thing is speeding. This thing, I mean, it had a lot of steam this morning, and now we may be at the finish line already. We'll get you those details. Plus, Anthony Davis is laying down the law, Momo. I'll tell you what that's about Ooh. In less than 2 minutes.
Laura knows.
Oh, yeah.
She knows me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you need to sing it. You know what I mean? Like, this okay, is kind of the deal now every week.
I don't know if you know what happened when you were gone, George. Did you just check out and not listen to the show?
I did not, no.
So, Brian Kamenetsky was filling in, and he just tried to, like, make everyday booty day.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't
work truth that way. And the truth is, you could only have one booty day.
Yeah.
And the reason why Wednesday is booty day is that it's hump day. You get
Correct.
It?
Correct. Yeah.
You get yeah, it? And I like Brian just kept saying it over and over and over. And I was like, oh, you're killing it. You're doing it too much. It's going to jump the shark.
It's overkill. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's overkill. BK, you can't have too much of a good thing, man. All right. It's the way life works. By the way, the Sedano Show, Mama Momo hanging out as she does every Wednesday, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your home quote at progressive.com today. And our friends at Nature Valley Crunchy Bar, whether you're on the trail or your terrace, your deck or your dock, Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time, because a crunchy bar tastes like summer wherever you are. All right. So we've got some baseball. All right. Here's the deal. Now, it's not passing, right? Bergman, what do we have here? Like, we have some news?
It's basically, Momo got it right. He was saying that Betts Dodgers agreement, John Heyman says Betts Dodgers agreement is for 12-year extension for about $350 million. They're just waiting on the finalization.
Right.
And but Momo, I don't know if you can.
Well, Passan said thirteen for around three eighty
would be amazing.
But he said that's including this year. So I think they're actually saying the same thing. I think it's, you know, this year's salary, which is whatever that's going to end up being in the new deal, plus 12 more years at around whatever that's going to be.
Yeah, so it looks like it's 12 for 365, I think is what Jeff is saying, right?
Yeah. I don't want to say. I don't know if it's confirmed yet. So I think it's going to be actually more than, like, the total value is going to be more than what we've seen so far. I think it's a little higher.
Look at that. Mm. Look at that. Yeah, so the Dodgers are getting things done. So if you're just
tuning
in. Not quite
Mike Trout range, not quite. But I think it's, you know, there's this year's salary plus a 12-year extension after this year.
Right.
So whatever this year's salary is going to be plus 12 more years at a pretty large number.
Yeah. Yeah. So in other words, he's going to make probably all in somewhere just south of $400 million.
Yeah. I mean, I think when all is said and done.
Over 13 years, right. Yeah.
Over 13 years, including this year. So I think, you know, the reports that you read, the money's all over the place, but it's basically that. It's because they're saying the same thing a couple different ways.
Right.
That's a gigantic sum of money.
Yeah.
Gigantic sum of money.
We've been taking calls at 877-710-ESPN on this. If it's a 13 years, looks like it's the deal because it includes this year that he's already under contract for. Out of those 13 years, how many years do you need to see him play at the highest level, you know, at a very high level, for it to be a successful deal for the Dodgers? 877-710-ESPN. I'm at minimum 7, probably 8. Where are you, Momo?
I'm about the same. I think 5 is fine, but as long as one of those 5, they win a World Series.
Right. So we'll go to the phones. Let's go to Mitch real quick. Mitch, because I want to get to this Anthony Davis story. Mitch, what do you got?
Hey, George. Well, Ramona, hope everything's good. Be safe. I expect 75% to 35. Still kind of in his prime, so I expect him to earn his contract, and he will. The Dodgers are sitting pretty. I'm concerned about Corey and Cody being signed. Expect a big year from Corey Seager this year. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. I was watching one of those Dodgers inter-squad scrimmages, and thank you, Mitch. Stay healthy, stay safe. And, you know, Corey Seager looked fantastic in the scrimmage that I was watching. Now, I watched a couple of them. I didn't watch one every time they played, but I thought he looked good. I'm waiting for a big bounce back year from him. And then obviously with, you know, Cody Bellinger, I mean, he's another MVP candidate. Like, the Dodgers literally have two guys who are MVP candidates right now.
You know, the issue with Corey Seager is, you know, he's had a Tommy John surgery. He plays shortstop where your arm is really important. Like, does he stay as your shortstop forever? Does he eventually move to a corner spot? You know, do you put him at second so you put less stress on that arm? Is that going to be a recurring thing throughout his career? So all of those are the kind of questions that you need to be asking before you decide if you can really invest that kind of money in him. Now, the one thing I think this probably does, Greg, you back me up if I'm wrong here, but does this take the Dodgers out of Francisco Lindor? Like, if they're doing this now, you know, do they go in on Lindor, trade for him, maybe try to sign him as well?
Probably does take them out of it, because you'd have to trade salaries to make that all work. And you'd have to pay Lindor right after that. So probably takes them out of it. But Corey Seager is... I don't think people really remember how good Corey Seager was his first 2 years before he started getting injured and had some and didn't get to play a full season. A fully healthy Corey Seager was going to be the biggest move for the Dodgers this season if they didn't sign Mookie Betts.
877-710-ESPN. Let's go to Kevin in Chatsworth. Kevin, how long is a successful deal for the Dodgers if it's 13 years with Mookie? How many years do you need to see him near the top of his game?
Hey, George. Hey, Ramona. I would say like about 6 years. You know, like hopefully like he cashes in within 6 years. If he doesn't, you know, he might have to like ask for a trade if he doesn't do well in 6 years. But however, I would like to talk about the whole skipping the wedding thing.
Yeah.
All right. So last weekend, my cousin, like, it's not much of a wedding, but like, you know, it was like kind of like a prerequisite, you know, to a wedding, like a proposal. So I was invited, but, you know, like, unfortunately, I was like, I don't think I want to go. So I just decided to stay. But however, my grandma went, so good for her. But here's the thing. There was like, you know, in social media, there's like, you know, pictures and videos. And one of the pictures, my grandma was not wearing her mask. And I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, my parents were like really concerned.
Yeah, I would bet, man. And I'm sorry to hear that. I hope she's okay, Kevin. And thank you for the call. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Weddings are a challenge right now. You know what I mean? Like, it just is what it is. We were talking about weddings because Alex Caruso has skipped his sister's wedding. It's a 100-person wedding in Texas, and we were just kind of marveling at who the hell would have a 100-person wedding right now. But Momo, speaking of the Lakers, Anthony Davis laid down the law, okay? All this talk about the MVP and sneaky Giannis, who said he didn't have a hoop to play and practice during the pandemic, lied to us all, sneaky Giannis. He does have a hoop. He clearly was practicing. He was working on his three-pointers because I saw him yesterday hitting a bunch of threes from the corner yesterday with a bunch of videos out there. By the way, he was doing it on the Vice Court, you know, which I feel like, you know, hopefully is foretelling down the road. You know, I'm just saying, you know. Nonetheless, Anthony Davis was talking about the MVP race, and he's like, yo, I know everyone's talking about Giannis, but let's not forget about my guy LeBron. Here's what Anthony Davis said.
the things he's doing at his age. He's playing like probably one of his, you know, best years, top team in the West. You know, the things he's able to do on the floor, especially when everybody was saying, you know, he was washed and he should hang it up and all this things. He come back with a dominant performance, and then just to be even in the race, you know, at this age, at this point in his career, for me to sit every night and the things he do on a consistent basis, not, you know, in stretches, 3 games here, 4 games here, but he does it every night. And he's been doing it his whole career. I think it's a good argument for him to be MVP.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think it's one of these deals, Momo, where it's like I would vote for LeBron, and here's why I would vote for LeBron. But the one thing that drives me nuts is nobody called him washed, okay? Like, stop that part. Like,
I know, yes, he's the one who made up that nickname. Nobody
yes,
said
washed,
washed
King. Nobody he called like him that but King. Himself. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, enough with that part.
Right.
I would vote for LeBron because of this. Yes, you can make the case, and I had this conversation with Zach Lowe on The Jump the other day. Yes, Giannis has had a ridiculous statistical season. There's no denying that. And he's only done it in about 30 minutes a night, which is also incredible. But my thing with LeBron is this. When you take LeBron off the floor, the Lakers are ranked 28th offensively in the league. And when he's on the floor, they're second in the league. He's led the league in assists. I think he can impact the game in ways that Giannis can't, particularly moving the ball and making his teammates better. And look, being number one in the West should matter for something. Now, I think the East is a lot better than it's been. It's better now than it was when LeBron was in Cleveland the second time. Because LeBron, when he came back to Cleveland, the East just wasn't all that good anymore. So I do think that, you could be splitting hairs, but I would vote for LeBron just based on those things by themselves.
So what is it? Do you have the number for what the Bucks are without Giannis on the floor? Like the contrasting number?
I mean, they're both about the same, right? In the sense of like plus minus, they're 14 points better. But here's the thing is that the difference would be from a wins perspective, the Lakers would be a borderline playoff team where the Bucks in the East would still probably be a playoff team.
Well, you know, I think the biggest difference for most MVP voters. So I've already said, I really think that I'm gonna vote for LeBron. I've said that all year. I think that I'm also a narrative voter, and Anthony Davis is using the wrong narrative. Actually, it's not about that he's 35. It's not that people were saying he was washed up and now he had a great year. It's that the Lakers hadn't made the playoffs in 6 years.
Right.
It's that the Lakers were a dysfunctional franchise where Magic Johnson abruptly quit on the last day of the year last season, and they seem rudderless. And they seemed like chaotic, and who knew how they were going to even bring any of this together. And LeBron has stabilized the franchise, got them to start winning again, and had one of his best individual seasons while playing point guard, okay? Leading the league in assists. He's been so valuable. He plays so many games. I think that's the reason why you vote for LeBron. The reason why you vote for Giannis, though, is because he does it on both ends. He is the defensive player of the year.
He is the defensive MVP. Player of the year, in my opinion. Yes.
I think he will win it this year. I think Anthony Davis will probably finish second or third. And he should. I mean, Anthony Davis probably should get some more consideration as defensive player of the year than he's going to get. But that's fine. I mean, I think the thing for the Lakers is they really should only care about winning this year. The way to answer all of those issues, all those questions is just go win.
Yeah.
Just go beat him.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think that that's kind of the way you have to look at it. All right. Coming up next, I want to get back into the Dodgers a little bit. And I also want to kind of address one thing with the Lakers. There is something that I talked about yesterday, Momo, that LeBron is chasing, that Kawhi is also chasing, that I think makes this bubble run even more unique. So we'll get to that. We'll get to more of the details of Mookie Betts' deal. And where the Dodgers rank amongst MLB experts in regards to their chances to win the World Series and the individual awards. We'll get to all that coming up in 4 minutes. Sedano, Momo hanging out, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Mama Momo hanging out, all presented by Progressive Insurance, and all our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Speaking of Pennzoil, Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas, giving you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Oh, yeah. Nothing like a little Craig Mack. we've got a 20-minute action-packed segment here for you. Look, this show at the moment has a lot of spots in it right now. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Okay. That is, things are slowly but surely getting back to normal. So we have combined some stuff here to make it a one big segment to really give you an opportunity to just listen to us, to call in, to interact with us, whatever we're going to do. But Momo, let me start here. I want to get to this Lakers thing in a second because I told you there is a race, kind of like an individual race between LeBron and Kawhi that I referred to yesterday on the show that I want to get your opinion on. But before that, Laura, give me some baseball music because I want to talk about the Dodgers here. And we've talked a lot about Mookie Betts. And the latest on Mookie Betts is that the deal he's going to sign, if you're just tuning in and you didn't hear before, is a 13-year deal that includes this year. And it's going to probably be somewhere just south of $400 million for those 13 years. So we've been asking the question today from the callers at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. If you had to pick a number of years that you feel would make this deal worth it, what number would that be out of the 13? Because I'm at like 7 or 8. You know, Momo's in the same range. We've had callers say 6. We've had some say 5. You know, we've had say, you know, as long as it's a World Series, you know, within the next couple, who cares? You know, look, I think there's some people that think the deal is bad in general, right? I've gotten some of that on social media. Mm-hmm. So hit us up at 877-710-ESPN, or you can tweet us at Sedano for me, at Ramona Shelburne for Momo. But here's the deal on the Dodgers, okay? So ESPN did their panelists, their 32 MLB experts, right? And they were asked who will win the division, who will win the National League, and then who will win the World Series. How many of the 32 do you think picked the Dodgers to win the division?
The division?
Yeah.
I'll say 28.
32! Unanimous!
32. Wow.
32 of 32 say they're going to win the division. And by the way, they should. I mean, they should. Granted, in a 162-game season, they would run away with it, you would think. But clearly, it's going to be closer. Only 60 games, a crazy sprint. We've seen wacky things happen in 50 and 60 game sample sizes, but really, the Giants are no good. Okay, the Rockies are still pretty good. The D-backs are not as good as they've been in years past. The Padres are getting better. They're really good as far as their young players are concerned, and of course Machado. But they're not there just yet. So they really should just run away with the division.
Wow. It's amazing to find that unanimous. Okay, what's the next question?
All right, next question. How many of the 32 ESPN experts picked the Dodgers to win the National League?
Ooh. I'll say 13.
24!
Wow!
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Crazy favorites to win the National League. 24.
Who are the others?
The Atlanta Braves got votes. The Washington Nationals got votes. The Cincinnati Reds actually got a vote.
Yeah,
I'm missing somebody. The Cardinals got a vote. And and the Cubs got a vote.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, the Braves are a good choice, although it seems like half the team has coronavirus.
Right.
Poor Yasiel Puig didn't even know he had it. Thought he had a deal finally at long last.
And I know. Puig, your friend.
Puig is still your friend.
Yes.
He just needs to not see any of his other friends because clearly one of them gave him COVID.
Right. For sure. Yeah. So you ready for the World Series now?
All right. What do you got?
All right. How many of the 32 ESPN MLB expert panelists picked the Dodgers to win the World Series?
Well, since I've been low on all of them, I'll probably still be low, but I'll say 13 again.
18!
Wow!
18 of the experts. So the majority of the experts at ESPN picked the Dodgers to win the World Series. Does that make you feel good, or does that make you feel a little worried in a wacky 60-game sprint?
I think the 60-game sprint does make me worried because there's so many young teams that can get off to fast starts that you wouldn't expect. Like, you know, people are really high on the Blue Jays this year. Yeah. They have all those
play
great
in Pittsburgh.
Young I think Pittsburgh's not out. I think they're out now. I just saw Buster Olney tweeting about that.
Oh, really?
There's talk the Blue Jays would actually just play as the home team in whatever park they're in.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. They have
they can't play the whole season on the road, though. That's crazy.
That's what it's going to be. They're going to play the whole season on the road.
Oh, God. Do you remember when the Expos played in Puerto Rico that one year?
Yeah. It was awesome. We should do that again. That's where Toronto should go.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
You know what? Does Puerto Rico want Americans, though? Or, you know, they...
Well, they are Americans, but you're saying like people from here, yes, like as far as like the continental U.S.
Right? Do they want people?
It's good point. Maybe they're like,
Canada
thanks.
Didn't want them because they were like, you're interacting with. I mean, Americans like other player, like the players are coming from the continental U.S.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because nobody like our passports are not good right now. Right. Nobody wants us.
Yeah, yeah, we're being shut out everywhere.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like I don't
know. Walker Buehler outing.
I mean, I think that has to affect them because they're never going to be sleeping in their own bed at night.
That's
yeah, there's going to be a lot of young teams that'll get off to good starts where they don't have enough time for, you know, people to catch up to them. You know, usually that would even out.
Bergman, Dodger boy, how do you feel about the experts overwhelmingly picking the Dodgers in a 60-game spread? Do you feel good about it or does it make you nervous?
No, I feel good about it. I think if they would have gone any other way, really, it would be kind of silly. This is by far the best team in baseball that has gone deep into the playoffs every year besides last year. But it's and added just one of the best players and in baseball. For them to go any other way would have been silly to me.
Laura, you're a huge Dodger fan. Like they are your favorite team, I believe. Well, them and the Lakers are like 1-1A. But you're a big baseball fan. So nervous that the experts are picking the Dodgers? Or you feel good about it?
No, I feel great about it. I've been watching them play, and I'm just like, oh, my God, I can't wait for these games to count. They look great.
All right.
So are the Yankees the next most popular pick?
Yes, Yankees are by far the next most popular pick, yeah.
What are the numbers?
And the Astros, by the way, got some votes, too. The cheating Astros.
There's got to be some karma here.
Could you imagine if the Astros won the World Series?
Right?
Oh, my God, that would be awful.
That'd be awful after everything. They win a World Series. This
right.
Year.
They'd be like, see, we didn't even need the whistling and the garbage cans.
Yeah, except what are they doing?
No. All right. So, next on the individual panel picks, the MVP, the Cy Young, and the Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. I've already told you the MVP one. I told you Mookie Betts was second, so we don't have to do that.
All right.
And Ronald Acuna Jr. was number one. Cy Young. Where do you think the Dodgers were on the Cy Young list, and who do you think was the highest Dodger pitcher on the Cy Young award list?
I think it's Walker Buehler.
And where do you think he was on the list?
Maybe like seventh.
Number one,
what?
Walker Buehler. Okay,
what?
Walker. Ferris Buehler, number one, according to the ESPN panel of experts, as your pick to be the Cy Young Award winner.
Who are the other names?
God, I forgot the guy's name from St. Louis right now, but he's on the list.
Jack Flaherty.
Yeah, Flaherty. Thank you. He's by far the next guy. Kershaw did make the list, but he's just far. He's around like six or seven.
Wow. Yeah. It's amazing how young pitchers, how quickly they climb up. Climb in baseball.
Yeah. And then lastly, before we move on here in a second, Gavin Lux was the overwhelming favorite, 24 votes to be the Rookie of the Year. Still could be, I guess, technically, even though he was sent down. But yeah, so the Dodgers, everybody's super high on the Dodgers right now. It's pretty wild stuff.
Oh, so our friend Jeff Passan just tweeted that the deal with Pittsburgh is falling apart because Pennsylvania, this is from Buster, the deal with Pittsburgh for the Blue Jays to play there is falling apart. The state of Pennsylvania is not keen on having all these teams from, all these teams coming into their state. One option being considered, according to Jeff Passan, is Baltimore. Pittsburgh isn't out as an option, but the state is balking at East Division teams from hotspots coming to the state.
Yeah,
Baltimore.
I don't blame them. Like, think about it. Like, I wouldn't want some of those teams in there if you don't have to. Mm-hmm. But by the way, Pittsburgh already has to play like. That's right, because they were doing the mega divisions, which means like the East is playing the East a lot. So that means like Miami, which is a huge hotspot, right? And Tampa, which is another huge hotspot, is going to have to play. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't. If I were Pennsylvania, I'd be like, yeah, sorry, not happening here. All right. In a second, I'm going to get to what I was talking about yesterday. I want to get your thoughts on this, Momo. It's an individual race between Kawhi and LeBron. So I want to get your thoughts on that in a second. All right, Momo, so I asked you this yesterday, or I asked the audience this yesterday and Greg and Laura this yesterday. You know, clearly we were talking about LeBron in the MVP race with Giannis, but he's in another race, and it's with Kawhi. And it's the race to be the first leading man on an NBA franchise to win three championships with three different teams, win a championship with three different teams, and be the finals MVP on each of those teams. And I wouldn't just dismiss the fact that, look, clearly LeBron wants to win for bigger reasons. I get all that. But I don't dismiss the fact that Kawhi is also the guy who is chasing that same feat, and he's doing it with the crosstown Clippers. I think all that stuff plays into the equation to hashtag revenge season. What do you think?
Yeah, and the other thing with Kawhi and LeBron is Kawhi has spurned LeBron twice. Like, spurned him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he had an option to play with him coming from San Antonio. They could have, like, joined up together, like the same way Kawhi recruited Paul George to go play with him with the Clippers. LeBron and Kawhi were trying to talk to each other about playing together in LA, and Kawhi wasn't really into it. Instead, ends up getting traded to Toronto, and then after winning in Toronto, he goes and teams up with somebody else besides LeBron.
Right.
And wants to come to LA just so he can beat LeBron. So there's not just direct competition between them in terms of number of championships, number of places that they're winning. There's like a real rivalry. Like when Kawhi orchestrated the whole deal with his free agency and Paul George, it was basically messing with LeBron James's plans for the Lakers. It was holding them up. I mean, that to me, that's personal.
In retrospect, I do agree with you, yes. But in retrospect, do you believe that what could they have done differently, the Lakers, had they just said, no, we're not even going after Kawhi, we're just building the team? Like, who did they lose out on? Like, I'm trying to remember. There were guys available.
They lost out on, like, Seth Curry. They lost out on some, you know, some guys that they ended up giving that money to Danny Green.
Right.
And I think they could have had a little bit more money to spend just kind of on the margins to develop the roster. But
They gave Danny Green 2 years 30, and they probably could have gotten Danny Green for like 2 years 24, right?
Yeah, a little less. Yeah. They probably could have they signed KCP again.
Yeah.
That was some money that they used that could have been used elsewhere. Now KCP's been pretty good for them.
Yeah.
So I don't know that was a bad situation. But yeah, I think that, you know, they ended up with JaVale. They could have gotten some of the other centers on the market. JaVale's been pretty good for them. So I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say that. I guess the real guy that they spent money on who really hasn't done anything for them is Boogie. That was kind of a late addition.
What was it, like $3 million or something?
Yeah, but that's still something. And they could have gotten somebody who actually contributed to the team this year. But yeah, I don't think Kawhi held them up, and they could have lost out.
Right.
But they had a pretty good plan with Danny Green, who was willing to wait.
Right.
If Danny wasn't willing to wait, they would have been more in trouble.
So I'm looking at the story here from 538 about what the Lakers' targets were that they missed out because of Kawhi. Seth Curry, you nailed it. Austin Rivers was another one that they were targeting.
Right.
Enes Kanter was another player that they were targeting. Yeah, those were the three guys it looked like.
I think there were some others too, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Those three are, I guess, were the main targets, I guess, at that particular juncture.
I think Marcus Morris was another guy.
Right.
I think that was somebody they were looking at.
Now, Marcus Morris was Marcus Morris is the one that was with the Clippers, right? Because Markieff is with the Lakers.
Yeah.
He was with the Knicks, right? He was the San Antonio Morris.
Yeah, he went
the thing
to San
that fell
Antonio.
Apart with San Antonio.
Yeah,
right.
And it fell apart, ended up going to the Knicks. There was a chance they could have had Marcus at one point.
Right.
I know the Clippers wanted Marcus early on. They tried to sign him as a free agent too. But like, you know, it wasn't that there were so many people. It was just more that, you know, if you didn't have this buy-in from Danny Green, this idea that Danny would wait for Kawhi to make his decision so that, you know, he would get taken care of. I know Danny Green had offers from the Mavericks that he liked and what they were pressuring him to take. So it got a little dicey there at the end. You know, if the Danny Green deal would have fallen apart, like let's say he just decided, I can't wait anymore, I got to go. That's when they really would have been in trouble.
Let me ask you this. Let's just say for argument's sake, the Clippers win and Kawhi becomes that first guy to do that. What would hurt more? Would it hurt more that the Lakers didn't win, or would it hurt more that the Clippers are actually won to like the people here?
I think that it would hurt more that it would hurt more that the Clippers actually won.
Yeah.
Because for the Lakers, like, they have just always had this unquestioned superiority in Los Angeles. And there have been iterations of the Clippers that were okay. They were good teams. And there was, you know, even a few years ago when they had Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and all those guys, like, they were a good team. Like, they were, you know, that was a team that could win. And, you know, you reasonably thought that they had a chance to contend.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, but the Lakers have still always been the only team in LA that's ever won anything. The Clippers were never a threat. So it's one thing for them. Yeah, they got some free agents. They got Doc Rivers. They've got a great new owner who's willing to spend. They're going to have a great building, but they still haven't won.
Right.
So you, that balance of power in LA has never even truly been threatened. So if the Clippers actually win one, I do think it would hurt more.
Greg, what about you, Laker boy? What would hurt more, that the Lakers actually would be eliminated or that the Clippers would have won? Because there's a chance that the Lakers can still be eliminated and the Bucks win, or whoever wins the East could win, right? Like, so, but if the Clippers finish the deal, what hurts more, that the Lakers would have fallen short of the finals or that the Clippers would have won a championship? What would hurt more?
Oh, that's so tough.
Good question.
It is a really good question.
We're going to do this one tomorrow for the top of the show when we can get people to call in too. We're gonna, remind me to do this again tomorrow early in the show.
All right, I will. But I mean, I think my first inclination is to say the Clippers winning, because this is just as much as this is the Lakers' best chance of winning over the next few years, this is the best chance for the Clippers as well to win over the next few years. So, I mean, to get that first one in Staples Center, it would be very, very painful to see. And losing to the Bucks might be okay. Ugh, no, I hate both, but I think the Clippers.
Laura?
I knew this was coming. I would rather 100% celebrate Giannis winning than the Clippers winning. So, yeah, the Clippers winning would break my heart, because they're still the little brother that thinks he can, you know, and they haven't. So I don't want them to. So, yeah, I would rather celebrate that.
I can't wait to have this conversation again tomorrow. Like, yeah. I want to do this near the top of the show tomorrow, because I feel like it will get some great responses. It'll elicit some great responses from the audience tomorrow.
This is going to eat away at me for the rest of the night now. I'm going to be going back and forth over which one I want least.
I mean, tomorrow's show is easy. It's opening day, and and we're going to do this. You know, this will be our basketball topic tomorrow.
Well, what's amazing about this is really, I think it's a continuation of what's been going on in the past few summers, where it's not so much that the Lakers didn't get Kawhi or didn't get Paul George. It's that they went to the Clippers. Like, right. They spurned the Lakers to go to the Clippers. That is just in your face. You're wrong. Like, that, to me, that is the bigger issue for the Lakers. That's why, you know, on social media, Laker fans have been so shook for the past year or so. It's they can handle not getting the guy, not getting the free agent. But for him to go to the Clippers instead, that's a different reality than they've had to deal with.
Well, it's why they were booing them everywhere they went in the offseason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it was and by the way, Lou Williams even talked about, like, that if he wants to win a championship, because they may get booed in their own parade.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you believe that will happen? I believe it will happen. People will show up just to boo them.
Yeah, but I don't think we'll have a parade.
Oh, we'll have a parade because of the pandemic.
I mean, to quote Alanis Morissette, isn't it ironic? Right? After 30 years of being...
You can't even have a parade.
After all these years, when your team really sucked, you finally win, and the parade has to not happen. I don't know. I gotta get a run.
That was good, though. That was good. We can work on that.
Give me the last line.
Laura, does that make you feel any better that if they won, they wouldn't even be able to get to celebrate?
Yeah. I'm like, you got it. And you still suck for me. But you got it and you can't celebrate. I would love that.
Bergman, does that make you sleep a little better potentially?
No, it doesn't matter. There's still a banner in Staples Center. No, that doesn't make
it. It's the picture.
Okay, I guess that since I'm on Ballmer's payroll, apparently, I should be the one sticking up for the Clippers here. If they win, it's great. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, I know Laker fans are going to be upset, but you should have some civic pride, and you should like respect the fact that they built a winner. And
I agree, Momo. I agree. Come on. Well, listen, we got to, before we go, I got to tell you real quick, whether you're taking the trails or on your terrace, on your deck or your dock, Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time because of a crunchy bar. Because, man, that crunchy bar tastes like summer wherever you are. Momo, thank you for today. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Greg. Thank you to the callers. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. Have a great rest of the day. We love you.